Joining us now, one of our military consultants, General Thomas Rehm, retired Lieutenant General Thomas Rehm, used to command the 1st Infantry Division, did so during the Gulf War of 1991. Welcome to the program once again.
Good to be here.
I'd like to go back to what reporter Ariane Campo-Flores was saying a moment ago about the rules of engagement and those encounters around a cemetery in Iraq that he described. Tell us a little bit about rules of engagement. In situations like that, does every soldier know when he is expected or entitled to fire and when he is expected not to fire?
Yes, the theater commander, in this case General Franks, usually, normally, always will lay out for the combatant forces the rules of engagement that they will operate under while they are in combat in the theater. This goes down from him down through the chain of command to where the battalion and company commanders get down and brief individual soldiers. As an example, what you heard here about a cemetery, it would be unusual to see the Air Force place a bomb, a precision-guided bomb, in a cemetery unless there was really something extraordinary, because one of the things that we respect in any conflict is a country's right to inter its dead and not be disturbed as a result of the war.
So that's a target that's off limits in terms of rules of engagement. The rules, though, would seem to be complicated by two factors here. One, which U.S. and British forces have encountered quite a bit of, which are these fedayeen, or guerrilla forces that may or may not, and it seems more often may not, be in uniform. And second, urban warfare, where you're not going to have some great tank battle in the desert, but fighting is going to be very close to civilians. So first, the issue of people not in uniform.
First of all, if he's dressed in individual civilian clothing, we generally, as a normal rule, the rules of engagement would prohibit the engagement of people who are not threatening the combatant force.
What if they're not in uniform, but suddenly you see the man has a weapon?
Then it is logical to assume that the troops would take him under fire, because in this case we have examples of where our forces have been engaged by non-uniformed people with weaponry. And in the case, sometime warning shots are fired and people are instructed to lay down their weapons, other time they're engaged.
As U.S., British forces get closer to, conceivably actually, inside Baghdad, say a real big city, is it possible, is it typical in such situations for rules of engagement to change in some way?
It is absolutely possible that rules of engagement could change. As an example, the rules of engagement may say that we will not engage with direct fire a individual civilian residence or a school as a general rule. In the execution of combat, if we draw fire from that facility, then you may see the rules of engagement modified to allow you, once you are under fire from such a facility, you could place a direct fire weapon in it, but probably would not be allowed to drop a 2,000-pound bomb on it.
At what level of command are such decisions typically being made? That is, are people constantly calling back to a colonel to find out what to do in tricky situations, or is it done on the spot by a lieutenant? Who might make such a call?
Generally, it's done by officers who are in command of the units who understand the general rules of engagement that everyone understands, but then they've been briefed on the exceptions, i.e., you are now have a position in which you are drawing fire from what you're prohibited from firing on. Now what do you do
on
an exception basis?
Yeah. General Rehm, thanks for talking with us once again.
You're welcome.
Retired Lieutenant General Thomas Rehm, who was commander of the 1st Infantry Division during the First Gulf War.